while Pastor Ben and some of the other folks are finishing up their baptism and changing their clothes and getting dry, Pastor Ben asked me to come out and give you a word about camp. Most of you know that we went to summer camp just this past week. We came back yesterday. And as I was sitting here thinking, yes, you can sit down. As I was sitting here thinking about what to tell you about camp and how to explain to you exactly what happened, I had two words come to mind, and they both sort of have bad connotation, right? Contagious and infectious. We think of those two words and we sort of cringe because nobody wants to be sick or catch anything from anyone ever. But nothing is more infectious and contagious than the joy of a child who has just experienced Christ for the first time at summer camp. And we play a lot of games, and we do a lot of awesome stuff. I mean, we had an epic water battle. Water balloons, squirt guns, I mean, we were drenched from head to toe. We had a glow party. We darkened the whole room, and we painted our faces, and we put up black lights, and we danced around like crazy people well past the kids' bedtime. Right? We let them stay up. Yeah, Charisse is laughing because she knows, because she had to go back to the room with all the girls that were super hyped up. But joy is contagious, and our children are full of joy because this week at camp, some of them experience Jesus in a whole different way than they ever have before. Eliana, can I put you on the spot? Come here for a second. I want you to know one of the Bible verses that we practice. And I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but you're so smart. Even if you mess up a little bit, I'll help you, okay? All right. You don't have to sing it. Just say it.
If you declare with your heart, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:9.
That's just a smidge of what we did in Kids Church. And we use videos and we use songs and we use all sorts of resources that we have available to us to help, you know, the kids remember these words. But we had the kids hiding scripture in their heart, and we had Pastor John and his wife Alex Mills come from a church in North Carolina to come and be our Kids Church speakers, because that frees Mark and I up to really take care of the administration and the directing of camp. And then we had someone else come and be our Kids Church speakers, and they were phenomenal. I mean, they went through the plan of salvation with our kids, from how God designed each one of us with purpose, how they are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that their purpose is specific to the Lord, and how they were designed that way intentionally and not by accident. And he walked them through the entire promise of salvation and how it's a gift. You can't do anything to earn it. And he made a couple of adult jokes that only we would get, right? And he called Denny up to the front of the room, and he offered him a package, and he said, "Here, would you like this? It's a gift." And yeah, I'll take a present. Who wouldn't take a present, right? And he goes, "Okay, do 10 jumping jacks. And now spin around 3 times. And now touch your elbows. And now touch your feet. And now touch your ankles. And now touch your head." Well, guess what? It's not a gift anymore, because now I made you work for it. Jesus doesn't make us work for his gift, does he? Because once you work for it, Pastor John said, it's paycheck. Right? And this is a gift, not a paycheck. You can't be good enough. You can't earn it. There's nothing you can do. All you have to do is receive it. Just take it. It's a free gift. And our kids learned that. And they learned about God's promises. And they did. Alex did magic tricks. And Jonathan popped balloons with fire. Shh, don't tell anyone. And we had a great time. And so thank you for allowing Pastor Ben and myself and Mark and a whole bunch of us to just take off for a week and spend it out at camp. It was phenomenal. Felicia does have some pictures floating around here somewhere that you'll be able to see as the announcement slides go through. And a special thank you to Sarah Dondu. Where is she? She's not up here. Oh, she's downstairs. She is the one who really pushed for summer camp again. She came up to camp last summer and she said, "The kids should be here. We really," and all year long she reminded me. And I'm so glad that we did it. We took 11 kids here from Maranatha, and we had 9 or 10 more from other churches, and it was phenomenal. I can't speak to teen camp. I know it was just as awesome, and Pastor Ben will tell you more about that in his sermon. I can speak for kids camp because I was there, and I hope that if you didn't send your kids this year, that you will certainly send your kids next year. Mr. Leary has already agreed to come back and help my sister Nanette run the kitchen, because we're just counting her back in as coming back. We had amazing staff, Sarah and Solomon and Charisse and Dennis and Jamie and Annette and Sharon. And one of the kids asked me how long I'd been doing summer camp. I went the entire time. I was like third through 12th grade. And then I took a five-year break after high school, and I came back when Isabel was about five and started working at elementary camp. I've done camp for 22 years. And Pastor Ben, you've been here since 2007? Right, and he's done camp for the last 10 years and many other camps when he was back home. And so if you want to hear more about camp, if you want to know how you can be involved, if you want to know how you can get a piece of the joy and a part of the peace that comes from experiencing camp, talk to me, because I have room for you. Teen camp has room for you. We need more hands, and I promise that you will get something out of it. Camp is not just for kids. Camp is for grown-ups, too. Thank you, Pastor.
Hello?
Hey!
Gosh, isn't technology wonderful? It is a blessing and also a... that other thing. Yep. Not going to say that in church. How are you this morning? You good? You came to church on a good Sunday because we have both of the sacraments. We celebrate both of the sacraments today. You got to see folks baptized, and then we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper before we close service today. You also came on a day that we've just come back from summer camp, and you get to hear how God still changes lives. The power of the gospel is still just as powerful from the moment it began to be spoken to this day, and that's been a little while. That wasn't just last week or last year or a few years ago. God is good. Katie spoke to the kids camp, and I want to tell you just a little bit about teen camp. It was very interesting. It was a very interesting experience for me. I had an opportunity to not speak. That is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to not speak. I got a chance to just kind of come alongside and do administrative stuff and work in the kitchen a little bit and run errands and just kind of keep things moving, which was great. Marisol Martinez was with us, and she is the director of Royal Home Ministries in Falcon, North Carolina. And so she talked a lot about that ministry, which saves lives. It takes young ladies in who have no other place to go and no other choice, both pregnant and those with just born or with kids or whatever, and they minister to those families and provide them resources and education and love, and they sow the seed of the gospel and faith into those young ladies. And they get to stay up to the age of 21, and I'm telling you, by the time those ladies leave that place, they are changed radically in every way, shape, and form. Where once they came in with no hope, they go forth with nothing but faith. It's a very powerful thing. Wasn't sure how she was going to work that in, but let me tell you what. She worked all of that in and even more. Wednesday night was an interesting night. Was it Wednesday night? Yeah, Wednesday night was our first actual camp meeting night for the teens. And I can tell you, when I tell you that the spirit of the age is apathy, I can tell you that that's a very real thing. Because as we were standing there, and this lady who's in my generation, she's only a few years older than me, was pouring her heart out, lots of our young people, there was about 50 young people in that room, were just stone-faced. Because here's what happens in our culture and our society now. When the seed of the gospel is sown into you and is watered in a community of faith and is watered by your parents with love, not just the hammer of do it because I said, not trying to come at anybody, but I'm saying, when the gospel is watered with love by parents who really want to guide and to lead their families, by people who really want to see their young people grow and become everything that God created them to be and become, what happens to those kids is they go out and experience the world. And at this point, did you know that every other religion pretty much in our world, it's okay to be a part of that, but Christianity gets a bad name. You can be pretty much for whatever religion you want to ascribe to, that's not just okay. In some cases, it's celebrated. But Christianity, and listen, I know what the word says. I know that we cannot stop the darkness because that's what has to happen. This world has to spin itself to the place where there's nothing left except for Jesus to come back. But we can still fight that darkness and push it back and give it everybody who would an opportunity to come to know the Lord. When you have the seed of faith in you in our culture and our society, your life experience tells you that it's okay to have Jesus as long as you protect yourself and that seed of faith. Don't share it with anybody. Be a Christian on the down low. Don't put bumper stickers on your car. Don't go to rallies and things like that. Certainly don't stand up in your school and declare any kind of truth. Because if you do that, that's a death sentence. That is a social death sentence for you. If you have any kind of social media presence, they're going to crush you on that. Now, I'm not saying always, because I don't think that that's always true, but that happens a lot. That happens to our kids. I sometimes troll around on the young people who come to camp. I sometimes troll around on their Facebook pages. And they're not out there with junk on them, but they're also not necessarily being the light that they could be, because they've learned that you've got to protect that seed. So those kids came in and they were like, I have all these walls and I have all of this pushback. And yes, you were talking to me about Jesus. And I'm telling you, Miss Marisol was pouring her heart out about her life and her experience. And the Lord was just saying, this is tonight, we got to break ground tonight. What I've got to do is take an opportunity to break up the hard ground that our culture and our society create for our young people, so that the seed that is within them can really find a place to grow. I'm not going to preach too much this morning because I want to get to the sacrament of communion and the meal. But I do want to ask you, does anybody know what the term root bound, the terminology root bound means? Does anybody know what that means? Somebody said sure? Root bound? This is what happens. When you plant something in a pot, it will only grow as big as the roots have room for. Does that make sense? And then it becomes root bound. That's why I can't grow anything. I can't even grow grass. I can grow weeds. Listen, you want a beautiful collection of weeds? Come see my home. You'd be like, that's the best milk thistle I've ever seen in my life. Look at this dandelion patch. It's wonderful. I can't grow grass to save my life. I can grow some weeds, though, by cracky. So when you, if you are really a person who knows how to grow something and you want something to continue growing, you plant it in a pot when it's small, a big enough pot, so that its roots can spread out. But after a while, that thing will begin to die because it no longer has the capacity to feed itself. As its capacity to grow grows, you have to give it a bigger place to grow in. What our culture and our society does is it binds the roots of our faith so that we don't have an opportunity to grow, so that we just stay at a certain place in our Christianity. That was hard. Wednesday night was hard. I was just praying, and Miss Madisol was praying, and she gave an altar call, one or two kids. And listen, I don't think every time you go to camp that everybody has to come up. I don't think that's the mark of salvation or that's the mark of God doing a work. But I know young people. I know young people. And I knew a lot of kids in there were just kind of sitting there with just, I mean, Kobe, just nothing. Stone-faced. Kobe Bryant, that's a basketball reference, sorry. It's fine. It just means like there was just no emotion there, nothing happening. Nothing happening, just stone cold. But that was God breaking ground. And then Thursday night, it went crazy. She just began talking. And listen, Miss, just so we're clear, sometimes I think, maybe you think, that when we go to camp, what we do is some kind of watered-down version of this, or somehow we're not as direct, or somehow we're not as in your face, or somehow we're not as pointed, or somehow we're not as strong. Let me tell you what, that lady was not pulling any punches. Not pulling any punches. She's not even Pentecostal holiness. She says she's AG, but I think she's on our side. I'm just kidding. AG, CG, we're all there. Holy Spirit, the whole nine yards, we're all there. All in the same house, all in the same group of people, all the same community. But she was just talking about sin and how sin affects you. And she says, we have this saying in our culture, in the Hispanic culture, show me who you walk with and I'll tell you who you are. Even after she had moved on, I was still staring there like a slack-jawed fool, like, you're absolutely right. She talked about the power of influence. She talked about how sin is contagious. She talked about, and our camp theme was awaken, which was our theme for our spring retreat and also for our camp, this idea of we've got to wake up to the truth and the power of our faith and how easy it is to fall back asleep. And she talked about how sin is contagious and how we can become the walking dead. That's a pretty accurate cultural reference. Come on. This lady's like 5 years older than I am. That's pretty good for her. She was like digging in deep to some culture, trying to find something these young people could hang on to. How it's easy for us to just walk and move in our faith, but be dead in our souls and in our spirits. She talked about that. And God did an amazing, just an incredible thing that Thursday night. Young people just coming up to the altar and praying with folks and crying. And that those walls had come down. That ground had been broken and those roots were beginning to spread out. And it was just so, it was such a relief for them to feel like they could come and just be who they were in their relationship with God and not sweat what anybody else in there was thinking. Not even worried about that. God did some amazing things in the lives of people there. There was a young lady who was delivered from something that she'd been carrying for a long time. I don't want to push your theology and your doctrine, but I'm telling you this, that spiritual oppression is real. I'm telling you that there is a curtain that separates this realm from the spiritual realm, and sometimes things pass through. I'm not trying to scare anyone. I'm not trying to preach some kind of weird doctrine to you. I am telling you that there is an enemy who does nothing but seek to kill and steal and to destroy. And this young lady had been carrying fear around with her to the place where it had begun to consume her and begun to inform her decisions and her choices in her life. And she was delivered from that in a very powerful, very real way. God did just some amazing things. And then Friday night, Miss Metasol's husband came. He's a soldier. He was in the military for over 20 years. And he was in an accident, a helicopter accident. It came out of his seat, and he ended up with PTSD and a traumatic brain injury. And so they said, you can't stay anymore. We're sorry. It's no longer safe for you to be a soldier. And that was hard for him. And he came home trying to figure out who he was going to be and what he was going to do and why in the world God would allow this. God knew his heart. He was in the military. He was an officer. That's what he did. That was his identity. That was what he expected to do for, you know, his actual retirement some 20 years down the road. This is who I am. And then just in an accident, in a freak accident, he comes out of his seat and hits his head, and that's it. It's over. And he talked about how the battlefield of the mind is where we win or lose the battle of faith. And there were, by that time, kids were just open and ready. They were like, absolutely. And we talked about how doubt has to die. How many of you struggle, be honest with me, doubting? How many of you struggle with doubt? 1, 2, 3, the rest of y'all are fibbing in church to a pastor. Pretty much everybody in here on some level, you struggle with doubt. Thank you, Bill. My brother Bill said, my hand is up. Doubt is hard because that's very much a mental thing. When you feel like you serve a God who is infinitely capable, when you serve a God who's infinitely powerful and infinitely knowledgeable about everything, and stuff occurs in your life that you have no explanation for, your mind begins to try to reconcile that and make meaning of it and say, maybe this isn't real. Maybe this isn't true. Maybe God does care about everybody that you can see, but doesn't care about you. We talked about how the battlefield of the mind is simply this. When doubt dies, faith increases. Doubt gives way to faith. There's not a space there. Your mind is going to fill it with something. And if you don't have doubt, then you have faith. If you don't have insecurity, then you have security. If you don't have instability, then you have stability. That's what your mind does for you. It's a beautiful thing. Now, of course, once the stability and the security and the faith are gone, the other stuff moves in. How we've got to always be on our guard mentally. That was just the first three nights. That was just the first three nights. Some of y'all would have rededicated or maybe gotten saved for the first time. I'm telling you, she was not joking. And then on Saturday, just to wrap it up, she hit them all. Whoa, let me be careful. There was no physical violence. I'm not saying she was like, be saved, be saved. That wasn't happening. There was no backhand of faith. In Jesus' name, that wasn't happening. I mean, she just brought it all out. She talked about sin, and she talked about where sex leads you and how that destroys you. She talked about how important commitment is. She talked about church. She talked about it all. And listen, we don't play games at camp. Yes, we do. We do play games. But when it comes to Jesus, we don't play games. When it comes to faith, we don't joke. You need to be sending young people. You need to be out there in the families that you know who maybe have some connection to faith. I'm not sure. If you know people who've got young people who don't have a chance to expose them to this, bring them to us. Bring them to us, and we will take them with us and give them an opportunity to experience God in a setting that makes sense, in a setting that's relevant without being compromising, with a reliable group of people who will love them. Katie said, if you want to get involved with camp, come and see us. All of my heart, I want you to come. But listen here, don't come to babysit. Don't come to babysit kids. Don't come to do a job. Come to get involved in the lives of young people and see what God can do in them, and then watch yourself change. Watch yourself change. You got to be some kind of cold and dead inside to come to a camp like this and watch young people interact with the Holy Spirit of God and just be like, nah, I'm good. That's not going to happen for you. If you want to get involved, come and get involved in ministry. This is not daycare. Come and get involved because you have this desire to worship God and to serve Him in the lives of young people. If that's you, yes, we would love to have you. And if you're the other kind, fine. You can stay in the kitchen and take out trash and pretend like Jesus can't come and get you in the kitchen. He will. Trust and believe. Let me just stay in the kitchen. Don't need no Holy Spirit. I'm going to sit here with my carrots. Fine. Come and serve. No, that's not at all what our kitchen people do. Not at all what, no, no. Listen. We've had some interesting kitchen experiences when we've come to camp. And I say interesting in super big quotes, some interesting kitchen camp experiences. My girl Nanette killed it this year. You need to clap it up for her. Y'all don't understand how she spent her entire day. She was like, Pastor Ben, no one should eat this much. You guys eat every 3.5 to 4 hours. This can't be right. She's like, and they kept sending me. They're like, we need more of this. We need more salad. We need more of this. She was like, this is not good. This can't be healthy. And I'm like, Nanette, they're young people. They can take it. Shove that food in there and they'll use it for, you know what I'm saying?
I haven't seen the sun in like 3 days.
Yeah, she said, I haven't seen the sun in 3 days. I'm just in the kitchen. I get up early in the morning. I start with the breakfast. I have a second to sit down, and then it's lunchtime. And then I have a second to sit down, and then it's dinner time. Getting to bed just worn out. She killed it. She did a great job. We're so grateful. And we are believing in Jesus' name that she's coming back next year wherever the Lord takes her from here. Hallelujah. That's what happened at camp for us. Such a powerful opportunity for God to move. I want to ask you this. Are you sleepwalking in your faith without intent? It's not your intent. Listen, here's what I know. The older we get, the more that seed of faith and truth finds a place within us and really puts down real roots, and I get that. But if we're not careful, the same kind of thing begins to happen to us that happens to young people just on an adult level, which sometimes makes it worse. Because you can think you're alive and you're awake in your faith and just be dead. You can just be, yeah, you come and you sit and you stand and you raise and you pray, but there's no fire, there's no spirit, there's just the grind. Are you awake in your faith? Because I'm going to ask God in this moment to awaken you. To awaken you to His love. To awaken you to the purpose that He has called you to, and I don't know what that is. I can tell you from a general sense, I don't know what in specificity what God has called you to, but I can tell you in a general sense, what He wants you to be is a light. Bottom line, boilerplate, basement floor purpose for you is to be a light of hope in a world that is running out of hope quickly. Who doesn't know what hope looks like anymore. Who thinks that joy is happiness. They have mistaken. Listen, I was talking to somebody the other day. We've removed joy from the lexicon because nobody knows what that is or what that looks like. We don't understand that joy unspeakable is a lasting thing that doesn't come and go with our mood swings, whether or not we have challenges in our lives. Are you sleepwalking right now? Do you need God to come and stoke the fire of the Spirit, of His Spirit within you, so that at the bargain basement bottom of your purpose, you can be a light for Him in this world? Unselfishly, with no fear or shame, just being a Jesus freak? Listen, I know how. I'm not asking you to go out and buy witness wear. You know what I'm saying? I'm not looking for an armful of bracelets. I'm not looking for a Follow Me to Maranatha bumper sticker. That's why I don't make those, because what if you don't love Jesus while you drive? I know how that feels sometimes. I'm not asking you to do those things, but I am asking you to be a light. I'm asking that you allow the Spirit of God to so burn within you that something changes in you to the place where the people around you want what you've got, need to know what you know. Are you awake in your faith? I'm going to ask folks to begin to prepare the elements for communion today. What a day. You get baptism, you get a report, a life-changing report from camp, and then you get communion. That's a pretty good day. That's a pretty good day. It's exciting to me on days like this, specifically because what you see here is death to sin and life to Christ in the person. What you see here is the life change that's happening, and then we get to celebrate with a meal, which is simply a continuance of that. This meal that we celebrate is a celebration of life. It's a very powerful thing. This is an opportunity for you to wake up, to refocus what's happening with you. This is an opportunity for you in this place, in this church, in this moment. Y'all know I'm not interested in church as usual. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested for merry-go-round faith that you just stop here every once in a while for a Sunday and then you swing back around and stop here. I'm not interested in that. My God changes people. I believe in a God that creates change. I believe in a God that loves and moves, a God whose sacrifice is so real that it can overcome whatever you're dealing with. I believe in that God. I believe he brings us here so that we can be together in community, so we have the support of one another and we feel his presence, not just that direct presence of God, which is so powerful and so important, but also his presence in the lives of the people around us. I believe in that God. Hearing the report of what happened in the elementary camp, I should have had Pastor John come. No, that's not fair. Marisol did a great job, but man, that visual picture of trying to earn salvation. Here's a gift, but before I give it to you, I'm gonna need you to do some jumping jacks. I'm gonna need you to do some push-ups. I'm gonna need you to lose 5 pounds. I'm gonna need you to make sure your tithe is right. I'm gonna need you to make sure that you are living life completely different than you would. I need you to change all of your behaviors. Listen, before I give you this gift, I need you to stop being you and be somebody that you don't know how to be before I can give you this. That's not at all what Jesus was about. Context of the first communion, if you're not careful, we can twist it, because the words that Jesus spoke that night and the context that he spoke them can seem, because of what we know about his future in that point, can kind of lose the sense that it's supposed to be taken in. The sense that we take this in is a very real joy. We're all very solemn, and I appreciate that, because that's how it's supposed to be. What we're about to do here is take the elements that Jesus used to institute a new covenant, a covenant that superseded the covenant of works, because before, the gift only came after the jumping jacks and the push-ups, and then you had to re-up on that every so often. In order to get that gift again, in order to get that forgiveness that everybody needs, you had to get back in line every so often at a certain hour of the day and do your jumping jacks again and do your calisthenics before you could earn that forgiveness again. And in that moment, Jesus was doing something very powerful. He was instituting a new covenant, a covenant of relationship, a covenant that said, do all the jumping jacks you want. You can't earn what I'm about to give you, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. And what it is a seal of the change that you have experienced because you believe in me. Now, those are I'm paraphrasing, putting words into his mouth. But that's ultimately what happens in this moment when we celebrate. This is a celebratory meal, folks. We celebrate what Jesus did. He was in the room that night with his disciples, and they didn't quite understand what was going to happen. But they began to get it. They would have understood that they were part of a covenant ceremony, because Jesus took the bread and he broke it, and he gave it saying, this is my body broken for you. And so we take the bread. In the same way, he took the wine and he brought out a cup and he poured the wine into the cup saying, this is my blood poured out for the sins of all, the covenant of my blood. And so we take the cup. Father, in this moment, we celebrate the life that we have only through you, because of you, by you, and for you. God, we thank you so much for the baptisms that happened today. A public profession of the life that has come alive in these folks. Death to sin and life to your son Jesus. We are so grateful for that, God. We are so grateful for the elements that we consume today in remembrance of you. celebrating that new covenant, that covenant of relationship that says you can never be good enough and that's okay because I've taken it all from you. All you are looking for us to do is to love you, God, with everything that we are and everything that we have, and to love the people around us. We celebrate, God, with our communion. We celebrate your sacrifice, as hard as it is. We celebrate the fact that you gave your life for us so that we could be made whole and we could be made free in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. We praise you and we worship you. And we, Father, pray in this moment that the Holy Spirit would begin to come alive and awake in every person in here. Father, begin to refuel us and refire us. Turn on our dedication to you. Help us to re-up our commitment to you. God, bring us alive in this moment. May the dullness of our situations and our circumstances fall away from us. May we see our issues with new eyes the way that you see them. May we see ourselves, God, through your love. Wake us up, God, in our faith. Give us the strength, courage, to be a light for you. Just at the very beginning, Father, as you are revealing our purpose to each and every one of us, may we be a light for you, God, in this dark world. Wake us up, we pray, in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.